This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
If something's going on with your body in any way, it's your invitation to really dive into your health and learn how your system works. Everybody has some sort of trigger event, whether it's they get really sick all of a sudden, or they find out they have some sort of autoimmune thing, or they get in an accident or some sort of injury. There comes a moment for everyone where they have to stop and really prioritize their health. And if you're struggling with your skin in that powerful of a way, your time is now. So that's when you start learning about inflammatory foods, you start learning how to eat properly for your system, you start learning about ingredients. It's like, hey, now's your time to pay attention to it. And that learning is going to last you a lifetime. So just look at it with curiosity and patience and develop the other traits that are in you, the way your self-worth actually comes from.
I'm Doug Bopes, personal trainer, best-selling author, and entrepreneur, and I'm on a mission to help others become the best version of themselves. So I'd like to welcome you to the Adversity Advantage podcast, where we will help you use obstacles, failures, and setbacks to give you that edge needed for success. I'll be interviewing people from all walks of life on how they overcame trials and turned them into triumphs. So please sit back, relax, and get ready to be absolutely blown away by some of the wisdom and stories you're about to hear.
Welcome back to another episode of the Adversity Advantage. I'm your host, Doug Bopes, and today's guest is Danielle Gronich. Danielle is a licensed clinical esthetician, and she's also the owner of San Diego Acne Clinic and the co-founder, formulator, and CEO of ClearStem Skincare, the first clean skincare line that targets acne and aging at the same time. Known as the acne guru, Danielle is creating a paradigm shift in skincare with her inside-out, information-first approach to acne and aging and helping thousands of people discover confidence in their own skin. Today on the show, we discuss why you may want to reconsider taking hot showers, what acne actually is and how you can help protect your skin, the lifestyle factors that are contributing to the health of your skin, how Danielle's personal journey and her own battle with skin issues and acne inspired her to start ClearStem, skincare non-negotiables for both men and women, and so much more. So let's get this conversation going and welcome Danielle Gronich to the Adversity Advantage podcast.
Danielle, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. I would love to jump right in. So I think so many people, they're concerned with their skin, they're concerned with taking care of their skin and making sure that it looks good, making sure that they glisten and stuff like that. So
I love that, glisten and stuff like that. Yes, exactly.
Like glisten and glow. What are like three things that people should be doing every single day before they touch any kind of products as far as how to optimize the way that their skin looks?
Oh man, okay. One of the number one skincare rules that never gets addressed ever or rarely is the water temperature that we use when we're in the shower and washing our face. So if you're like most people, a good hot shower is one of like the best pleasures in your life. And it feels so good to have hot water just hit your face, just beat on your face, especially in the morning. It's like just feels amazing. It's one of the worst things for your skin. So water in general is actually dehydrating topically to the skin. It's the wrong pH. Water is a pH, you know, of like 7. Our skin's a pH of 5.5. So right there, it's a huge pH disruption, essentially, right? So your skin has to come back from that. But the heat actually kind of annihilates what's called your lipid barrier. It's your natural oils that we all make. And your natural oils are what keep you young. And that's your first line of defense against UV damage. So when you strip away your natural moisture barrier in the shower every morning, it sends your skin into like a mayday state where your oil glands are like, what's going on? We're dry. We're going to hyperproduce oil. But then also you go right outside and you get UV damage faster. So it's this whole cascade effect of inflammation and imbalance that is just horrible for the aging process. And if you are prone to any pigmentation issues, like say you get brown spots or melasma, hot showers just make it 10 times worse and you can't recover from the damage that's happening because it's daily. Your skin has no break from it generally. So reducing hot water and just doing lukewarm water for as short amount of time as possible on your facial skin. That's number one. That alone will make a huge difference. Number two would look at your internal hydration, since we're talking about water. A lot of people are just chronically dehydrated. We wake up dehydrated and the first thing we do is have caffeine. Water is generally an afterthought to a lot of people. You know, unless you're focusing on it, you're probably not getting enough. So there's that. And then, you know, the types of foods you're eating. Are the foods you're eating hydrating or are they dehydrating? If it's a lot of processed stuff, your body's going to be using a lot of effort to detoxify, which is on the dehydrating side. But if you're eating a lot of, say, apples and cantaloupe and, you know, lettuce, you're going to be eating your hydration too. So that's something to think about. And then the third thing I would say, how are you taking care of your barrier at night? And that this is going to get a little nerdy, but your skin barrier is something that you want to protect all the time, and you do most of the protection of it at night. So there's kind of a rule with estheticians, you know, it's good to look like a glazed donut at night. So if you go to bed, so say you take a shower at night and then you don't moisturize, you're not loving your skin barrier all that much. But if you cleanse your skin and then you layer with, like, you know, hyaluronic serum or something similar, and then a really good moisturizer that won't break you out, your skin, you're going to wake up with better skin and your skin's going to be able to defend itself and stay better looking for a longer time.
Staying hydrated, making sure that the temperature of your water isn't not too hot,
just lukewarm only,
and not too hot, I guess, for a longer period of time. I mean, I do found, like, if I'm in like a hot tub or something, I get out and my skin looks like it's completely different. Is that why? Is it because of just immersing myself in hot water and it negatively impacts my skin?
Absolutely. Your skin's made up of protein, and heat denatures, you know, and or kills protein. So if you're like, I love hot tubs. I don't go in them that often because they're just so bad for your skin. You have to like immediately like rinse off and then hydrate a ton afterwards. So the heat and the fact that you're sitting in water for a while is just bad for your skin protein. And the heat conversation is really the biggest one, because it is super inflaming, and skin that is any sort of wounded, like say you're spending a lot of money on facials or lasers, and then you go home and you wash your face with hot water, you're not getting the healing response that you're banking on. So you're actually just prolonging the inflammation and increasing it, which leads to accelerated aging and a ton of side effects. And I personally went through this because in my decade of struggling with acne, I tried everything. You know, I'd done 3 rounds of Accutane and it didn't even work on me. So, I did the laser route and the peels and all the shit that you would do if you're trying to fix your skin. No one ever talked to me about water temperature, not one. So, you know, you go spend $3,000 on a Fraxel laser and, you know, no one tells you about the water temperature. So if you're like most people, you're washing your face with really hot water after you do something aggressive to it, it doesn't get the chance to heal and you don't get the results you're essentially banking on. So it's really, really important. That's why I like to explain it a lot for people.
So from your perspective as an esthetician, how do you define acne? Like, what is like acne, and how is it formed?
So there's a genetic, huge genetic component. It usually runs in your family, either on one side or both sides. And then it will be varying degrees of severe based on environmental triggers. So you have to have the genetic disposition for it. It's something called retention hyperkeratosis is like the main thing that makes someone acne prone versus not. Then there's other traits too, like, you know, oily skin or really thick skin, or, you know, a lot of other things too. But you have to have that gene that makes you produce extra keratin protein. So if you have that gene, your pores get clogged a little bit more easier naturally, and you might get, you know, KP, keratosis pilaris, which is little bumps on your arms or legs. It generally shows up all over the body, right? And you can tell because, you know, your mom will have had it, your dad will have had it, usually a sibling has it too. So people that have that gene, we need a little bit more exfoliation than those that don't have that. So if we're not getting that exfoliation, we generally just feel kind of congested and clogged. Also, the stuff that we put on our skin usually has pore clogging fillers in it. So most skincare and makeup companies use the same half a dozen filler agents that are really thick and they clog our pores. They mix with our extra keratin protein, creates acne. So acne isn't, you know, it's an immune condition. It can be defined a lot of different ways, but that's the crux of it. We make too much keratin protein. Our skin gets, our pores get clogged and inflamed more than people who don't have that gene, who could be doing all the same things that we're doing. There could be no other difference in lifestyle except that one gene. And that's usually the base of acne.
So we're all about controlling the controllables here on the podcast. And I know that you've spoken to a lot of people, you present on this stuff, you've obviously had a lot of experience in practice. As far as lifestyle goes, what would you say are a couple of common things that you see people doing that are making their acne worse or that are maybe in turn just causing acne?
I love this question. There's a ton of, quote, healthy things that people do that affect their hormones or their digestion in a negative way. Number one has to do with supplements. So everyone thinks their acne is hormonal. And yes, hormones play a pivotal role. It's not the only thing, though. But say you're breaking out and it's around your mouth, you're like, this is hormonal, or it gets really bad when you're near your period. You're a guy, you're lucky, you don't have to deal with any of this shit. But women know what I'm talking about. So you think it's hormonal, it's around your mouth. Okay, sure, but you go to the doctor, they don't tell you anything about what could be causing it. They don't talk about sugar, they don't talk about dairy, they don't talk about things that are spiking your testosterone. Most women are taking a lot of supplements. They're taking at least one or two that have a lot of either vitamin D or B12. These are nutrients you don't want to be deficient in. And granted, a lot of people are. Most people are legit deficient in vitamin D. But when you take it in supplement form, it can have these crazy high doses that affect your testosterone. B12 is the most common one. I own San Diego Acne Clinic. And people come in. One of the things we do for a new patient is we have them bring all their supplements and their skincare. And we go over the supplements for like 20 minutes. That important. So if someone is having too much B12, and this can be a standalone B12, or it can be a B complex, or it can be in a blend, like a nootropic focus energy type blend, they all have a shitload of B12. And it spikes your testosterone and it creates acne around the lower face. And then there's, you know, B12 shots and IV drips. Like, it's in everything. It's in spirulina too. So it's in a lot of green juices and green powders. So it really is everywhere. So I'd say getting too much B12 or too much spirulina is one of the biggest things that people can check for immediately that would make a huge difference. They're getting over, I've seen about, if it's over 400% of your RDV in a supplement form, it can be messing with your testosterone. So there's that one.
So you touched on dairy, and I think that over the years, I think dairy has gotten a bad rap in many ways. Obviously, I think there's people who are lactose intolerant or sensitive to it, and it can impact their skin in a negative way, like you alluded to. And then also there's been like research, I think in recent years now, how it can have like some positive, you know, benefits for our health. How do you, I guess, advise somebody to try to isolate whether something like dairy is causing like a skin issue for them and it's not something else?
Totally. So dairy can be inflammatory for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the lactose, that's just the type of sugar. Those people, it's an easy solve. Just get the, you know, lactose free or take the enzymes for it. For everyone else, it's the insulin-like growth factor hormone. It's the IGFs. And that is really, really strong in whey protein and in a lot of protein bars. They'll all have like milk protein isolate or whey protein isolate or some derivative. So it can be lactose free. It can be organic. Doesn't really matter. If it's milk, it still has insulin-like growth factor hormone generally. So if you're acne prone and you're having dairy, it's going to mainly hit you on your chin. You're going to see it all around your mouth. Cut that out for about a month and then slowly reintroduce it on purpose just to see what your unique threshold is. You're not going to go your whole life without ever having dairy again, but you got to do an elimination diet, see how the change in your skin is, and then you can introduce it intentionally when it counts. Whey protein, though, if you're acne prone, whey protein is just going to mess you up. Like, there's just no way around it. So just be very careful with that. I see that with a lot of my teenage boy clients because they all want to bulk up and they're all on whey protein, and it just creates horrible, horrible teenage acne too. Colostrum is the one where it saddens me because colostrum does have a lot of health benefits for the immune system, but it does still have the IGFs, which can be problematic for people that are trying to clear their skin. So if you are, you know, not acne prone at all, I would say colostrum is your friend. For most people though, dairy's just, it's not that healthy. I don't think it's that healthy for anyone, but colostrum can be.
I guess what I'm hearing you say is just to be mindful of your own individual relationship with acne, and if you see flare-ups and you're drinking, you know, a lot of whey protein or ingesting dairy, to make sure that you're getting like that checked out to see if that's the cause, and trying some sort of elimination diet to see if that's what ends up taking away some of the acne. And then if it does, then obviously there's a good idea of what's going on, right?
Correct. Yeah. And other skin issues too. And you know, this ties into the blood sugar regulation conversation, which is critical for acne, but also extremely important for everyone's general health endeavors. Anything that's insulinogenic can affect your blood sugar in negative and unpredictable ways. The IGF, insulin-like growth factor, can have that impact. It can have, in a lot of people, a similar impact as sugar. So it's just something to be aware of. And I don't know anyone who's like, oh, the secret to me getting healthy was having more dairy. You won't really hear that from anyone. So just take that for what it's worth.
No, I know. But I do think, though, at least from in my experience, I think that I've just seen that in small doses, I think that people can have a healthy relationship with dairy. I don't think it's like this thing that people should, it should consume most of their diet by any means. But I do think that we also live in this world where we've gotten so, in my opinion, so like hyper-focused on nutrition that people are like afraid to eat anything, right? They're like, all right, can I have this? Can I have that? Like, what ingredients are in this? And I think the pendulum is swung too far in the other directions where I think people, the average person can be easily confused. So that's why I just try to preface that with in that way.
Yeah. Everything in moderation, including moderation. But yeah, I just view dairy as kind of a cheat food. You know, it shouldn't be like a staple of anyone's diet. But yeah, everyone has individualistic, you know, needs and responses to things. So it really is just like a journey into oneself and learning what does and doesn't work for you and knowing how to check those things. You know, what's a proper time for an elimination diet? About a month. And then you're reintroducing slowly and only reintroduce that one thing. So you're eliminating variables is part of that.
What about from like a hygiene perspective? Like, I mean, growing up, my family members would be like, don't touch your face. You're going to end up like making your face dirty or whatever. Or you hear like that as soon as you exercise, you need to take a shower. I mean, not just from a smell perspective, but to like, you know, cleanse yourself and stuff like that. Does that hold true? Or do you think that these are misconceptions as far as how to like properly prevent yourself from having skin issues?
Oh, great question. After you sweat, absolutely shower off as quickly as possible. Like that's number one for sure. So a lot of personal trainers struggle with body acne a lot because they're just in their own sweat all day and they're in their sweaty clothes all day. And it's just if you're one of those people who's just naturally pretty sweaty or you live in a humid environment, whatever, try to make sure your clothing is cotton and not those like Lycra, Dicky kind of polyester. I don't know what other fabrics are, but we want to stick to cotton. So stick to something breathable. And if you can't shower off right away after you work out, you don't want to just go to hot yoga and then go run errands. You're just going to be like reabsorbing all the sweat that you just excreted. So that's a really good one. Touching your face. Yeah, you should avoid touching your face. Your hands are probably not clean. And a lot of hand lotion, actually, most hand lotion is pore clogging. So if you're touching your face a lot and you use hand lotion, you're probably going to get some breakouts there from that.
One of the other things that I think people are looking to optimize when it comes to their skin is being tan, right? Like I feel like people are always like, yeah, I need to get some, you know, you need some sun on your face. You need some sun on those legs. You need some sun on whatever, right? Over the years, people have said that to me a lot just because I'm naturally on the paler side. What are some healthy ways for people to tan? And maybe if they want to look like they have, you know, more sun on them than they typically do.
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of getting out and getting sunshine. You just want to protect your face, neck, and chest with a mineral zinc or titanium-based sunscreen. But you need sunshine. You can't really be a happy person without it is my thoughts. So as far as tanning and just the aesthetic part of it, I just use self-tanner. I like the Bondi Sands from CVS. That seems to be kind of a crowd favorite with people and it won't break you out. The chemicals that are in a lot of them aren't my favorite, but looking tan just makes you look so good, especially if you're in Southern California and you're wearing shorts all the time. So yeah, I mean, a spray tan here and there, it's the trick. I don't know how guys feel about spray tanning in general. I think they do it on the down low, but it's not like as front and center as it is for women. But yeah, like you can do a self-tanner. You can get healthy sun exposure. Just know that the sun is going to be strongest between 10 and 2 generally. Well, depends on where you're in the country, but say from 10 to 2 or later in the afternoon, if you're like, say like in Texas, it gets super hot at like 4. Same thing with Florida. So when it's super, super hot, just wear a little more protection. Just be a little bit more mindful. And you can still get color even if you have a reasonable amount of SPF on you. So just don't burn. Just be smart.
taking this like a step back and zooming out a little bit, let's just say that the average person listening to this is like, all right, well, there's a million things I could probably do for my skin. There's a million products I could buy for my skin. There's a million things that I could implement, but I only want to do like a few things over the course of every quarter, over the course of every year. Like, what are the non-negotiables, would you say, that if somebody is trying to take care of their skin, but not like just jump all in and start to, you know, implement every single thing?
It depends on what your goals are and depends on if you're a guy or girl generally. So the non-negotiable is knowing how to protect your skin. Using a mineral, aka physical sunscreen, preferably one that's based with the most zinc that you can comfortably use, that's going to be number one. So take, you know, protection is number one, moisturizing it properly, number two. And I think you're keeping a low inflammation diet and low inflammation life as much as possible is the biggest thing to focus on that's going to yield the most benefits. You can't eat like crap and, you know, not take care of yourself and not manage your stress and expect to look good. It just doesn't work like that. So I think for everyone, it's like, okay, how can I reduce my inflammation load on a daily thing? Like, what are my daily practices? Like, what am I putting in my coffee? Is my coffee organic? Am I hydrated before I have it? Like, just little things like that that make the biggest cumulative effect. Regulating your blood sugar, huge. You can do that simply by making sure your first meal is protein and that every meal is, try to aim for at least half protein. Digestion is huge as well. Digestion and gut health, obviously everyone knows that impacts your health and skin drastically, but I actually like to focus more on digestion in the stomach. So making sure you're optimizing digestion will have a cascade positive effect on everything else in your health and predominantly your skin. So a lot of people aren't breaking down their food properly. They don't have enough enzymes or the correct type of enzymes, or they're just like eating too fast or what have you. So I like to optimize digestion. I do that with apple cider vinegar in the morning. Makes a huge difference. And then also like hot water with lemon before meals. Every time you go to a restaurant and the server comes over to greet you, just say hot water with a bunch of lemons. Like, get that, have that roll off your tongue. And that creates a huge, you know, every time you go out to eat, you're supporting yourself a little bit more before you eat a bunch of random food. That has a huge effect. So optimizing digestion, regulating blood sugar, that's actually the biggest skincare flex.
So it's cool to drink hot water. Just, you don't want to like shower too much in hot water, right?
Yeah, totally different. You want your stomach, think of your stomach almost as like a hot vat of acid. You don't want to drink ice water right before you eat because you need it to be hot and acidic so you can break down your food. So avoid drinking cold water while you're eating. And then hot water with lemon before you have food is actually extremely beneficial.
What's the relationship between stress and acne like? I mean, does stress truly exacerbate acne? Like, I mean, I've experienced it. I've seen people who I've trained over the years, when they get stressed, they get acne. Is there a direct correlation?
Definitely. It spikes your cortisol and creates an inflammatory. Stress is inflammatory. I just think of it like that. So acne is an inflammatory condition. Anything that's inflaming you internally can show up as acne. So if you're eating inflammatory foods, it'll show up like that. If you're in a toxic relationship, your stress level's high, your body's not going to be able to heal itself as well as in a calm circumstance. Stress is absolutely a contributor. It has to do with cortisol and hormones, and it messes with your sleep. And yeah, stress is behind a lot. Stress and sugar are the things killing everyone.
So the things you shared about making sure that you're taking care of your skin, getting sun, but protecting your skin and digestion and all that stuff, is that universal for men and women as far as optimizing their skin health?
Definitely.
I want to dive into your personal story now, because I know that a lot of what you talk about and your own company was started because of your own transformation. Talk about your struggle with acne, how you were feeling from a mental health perspective, from a self-esteem, self-confidence perspective, what your life was like then, and then like how you ended up transcending that.
Yeah, so I had grade 4 cystic acne on both sides of my family, so I never stood a chance. It got really bad when I went to college, so I was like 17, almost 18. Got really, really, really bad. So I was on a bunch of different medications for it. It was very depressing. They kept changing my birth control around, trying to see if that would help. And all the women listening know that when you change birth control, everything just goes haywire and it can make you depressed and just all of that. So it was just like, it was such a roller coaster for a long time. what was frustrating about it is that I wasn't able to get any actual answers or information. All the different doctors and derms that I was seeing, they would just be like, oh, well, there's no white paper on that. What prescription do you want to try again? So that's actually why I didn't pursue medical school, is because of how shitty my experience was dealing with it. So it's an emotional roller coaster, and, you know, and then a physical one. And it just changes how you see yourself and what you show up for and what you think you're worthy of. So it definitely impacted my life in a really powerful and pretty negative way. But when I was 28 or 29, I was just finishing up my third round of Accutane, and I was getting such bad side effects that I had to stop a month early, and it came right back. So I was like, screw this, I'll figure it out myself. So I wound up back in school to get access to information, essentially. But you can't just go and learn about skincare unless you're an esthetician student, you're in school. So I was like, screw it, I'll do that. So I was in the corporate world doing consulting and in esthetician school at night. It was a major culture shock. But while I was there, I saw that treating the skin was actually the medical profession I'd always wanted but didn't know existed. So I was hooked. I left the corporate world, which was extremely, it was like the best day ever. And then I shadowed under a lot of the, you know, most reviewed and top skincare people in San Diego. So I shadowed under like three or four, learned a ton for a year, and then I opened up my own spot. So and then from there, it's been the career of my dreams. I get to help people. I get to meet the coolest people. I get to formulate products. I get to solve the problem for other people that I went through so poorly. So that transformation, that whole full circle 180 thing has just been really beautiful. And I've never had a day where I'm like, God, I should be doing something else. Never had that moment at all in the 9 years since I made the switch. So
that's awesome. Congratulations. It's amazing that you've been able to turn such a painful experience into moments of perseverance and fulfillment, and now like being of service and giving back and helping other people with the stuff that you do. So other than taking care of your skin and making sure that all that's optimized, like how do you manage your stress these days? How do you optimize your level of confidence and self-worth and stuff like that?
I love to get massages. That's how I actually solve problems. So I make sure to schedule and protect my self-care time. So stress is a real thing for sure. You know, our company is growing like crazy. We have a team of 12 now, and we're hiring, and, you know, 12 full-time employees and then, you know, 10 agency partners. So it's a lot. I'm on meetings all day making important decisions all day. There's always something, some fire to put out or something that needs to be optimized or something that needs to be solved. So loving the end result of the work is huge, and getting to make a positive impact in people's lives. I mean, I think that's what makes it totally worth it every day. I like to travel. Traveling is really important for getting away, zooming out, disconnecting so that you can come back reconnected in a stronger way. Just spent a few weeks in Europe and, you know, feel like a new person when you come back, especially when you get some creative alone time. So that's huge for me. And then really, really good relationships, like actively building and deepening your relationships with the people in your life is the most fulfilling thing too. And that can be as simple as asking better questions or sending someone a thoughtful message or writing something down in your calendar that they mentioned to you the last time you hung out that was important to them, so you can follow up with them about that. Making connectivity easier is the thing that makes everything else feel less stressful.
How has your ability to formulate relationships changed between now that you've optimized your skincare and then back when you were having a lot of acne issues?
Remembering that no one really cares is really important. You know, we all have this like spotlight effect. It's kind of a cognitive bias where we think everyone's looking at us. We think everyone's noticing everything that we're self-conscious about. Nobody does. Once you remember that and realize it and then stop attaching meaning to every little thing, which is harder than it sounds. It's not easy. But once you stop doing that and you're like, okay, my skin's not looking its best today, whatever, I'll wear a cool hat. And that's what everyone's going to notice, not the skin thing that you're worried about. Putting everything in perspective and keeping it there is probably the biggest shift.
I know therapy's been transformative for you as well. What have been the biggest breakthroughs that you've had from therapy, and how has it transformed you personally and professionally?
We have our executive therapist that we keep on retainer for the team. He has us do a circle of acknowledgement after meetings. So that is really transformative. Just showing people that you work with that you see them for who they are and that you appreciate their work and their judgment and what that's done for you. So that's huge. And then my personal psychologist, she's awesome. We like to nerd out on like cognitive biases and like, you know, things that happen and how we perceive them and what are the biases we're bringing to the table and just bringing awareness to them. Like there's no shortage of conversation when you're looking at things from that lens. And then other personal development work. I actually just did the Landmark Forum, which has been around for, God, like 30 years probably. That was super transformational. A couple of people on my executive team had done it and recommended it. And so me and my co-founder did it and we loved it. And one of the biggest things I took from that was you can choose something just because you chose it. There doesn't have to be any other context or meaning or validation or explanation behind it, which I think is really powerful, probably especially for women, because we are constantly, our brains are just going in a million directions all the time. It's just kind of how we're wired. And so every choice can be so consequential or has to have a reason or has to fit in with this or that. And it's just, it just drains your bandwidth. So not having to have a reason for something I felt like doing has been huge. And then also not attaching meaning. Things only have meaning because we give it meaning. It's totally within your control. And you can say, okay, this thing happened and it meant nothing. And that's so freeing. So I draw on that every day, multiple times a day. And that's been probably the biggest shift lately.
Going back to taking care of our skin and going back to doing what we can on a regular basis to make sure that our skin and our face looks as good as it possibly can. What is your opinion on like facials? Because I think that there's certain people, including myself, up until like a few months ago that thought that just getting a facial every few months was like the best way to keep your skin and your face looking fresh.
Facial can mean different things. It means something different for everyone. A facial just means you're laying down on a table and someone's touching your face with something. There's 100,000 different variations probably. So the ones that we do are extremely effective. We just have a really unique protocol at San Diego Acne Clinic. So people kind of get the results from a small laser, but they get it in like 5 days with one of our treatments just because we kind of know what we're doing in that sense. It depends on what you're looking to do. If you don't have any skin issues and you just want maintenance, yeah, a good facial with exfoliation, maybe a little microderm, a good massage, yeah, it's going to be great for you. If you're looking to really create some change, like say you haven't taken care of your skin and you are now 40 and you're like, holy shit, I've never taken care of my skin. What do? You're going to need a little bit more than that. So knowing what your goals are and getting a lot of different opinions from people and creating a treatment plan with the person that you trust and who makes the most sense to you, that's the best plan. So it really just depends on what you want to do and what the actual treatment entails.
Is there anything that somebody should look for specifically if they're like looking into a local spa or salon or something where they have estheticians on staff and they give facials? Is there any kind of qualifications somebody should have, any types of questions they should ask the practitioner to make sure that they are giving as extensive of a treatment as you're describing here?
You definitely want there to be an evaluation process before you let someone do anything to your skin. So they need to be asking you a lot of questions. I would show up to an appointment and say like, hey, this is what I'm curious about and here's what I've heard. Can you explain explain this for my face or something like that, just to get a sense of if that person has the intellectual capacity to really, really think critically for you. If someone's like, well, we do this and we do that and we're going to do this, like, but they're not making it specific to you or giving you any sort of like individual focus, I think that's what I would look for.
And then do you find that men and women have different skin? Like, should men focus on different things than women when it comes to things they use on their skin and face?
Men tend to be more minimalistic and have more resilient skin, so they can get away with just, you know, moisturizer and sun protection, and most of them will be fine. They should work in exfoliation here and there. Women tend to use a lot more products, so we need to make sure that we know ingredients really, really, really well. You want to know which ones are inflammatory to your skin. You want to know which ones are nourishing to your skin. If you're more focused on wrinkles, you want peptides. If you're more focused on clearing breakouts, you want things like mandelic acid or salicylic. So depending on what you're trying to accomplish, knowing the corresponding ingredients and a really good regimen is key. And that's what really good esthetician partner can do for you.
Or putting a bow on what people can do to optimize their skincare. I know we've touched on several things as far as things that people shouldn't do on a daily basis, things that people should do, things they should try to include in their routine. From a specificity standpoint, what are a few products that you think that every guy should have? I know you just touched on a few. Like, what kind of products should they be using every single day to at least get a pass for their skincare routine? And then the same thing with women.
A really good sunscreen. We actually have two. Our main one is called You Are Sunshine, and it's like 21% zinc, which is like what the surfers use. So it's really, really good coverage. It'll last you throughout the day a little bit longer than some of the other chemical-based sunscreens. So that one's number one. And that's unisex too. And then our moisturizer is amazing. It's unisex. The men love it too. It's just a really, really good hydrating, like barrier restoring moisturizer that also has bakuchiol, which helps prevent wrinkles and stimulates collagen. So that is a great multifunctional kind of product that will do. It's one product that does a lot of different things for your skin, which is, I think, what everybody actually wants. So that sunscreen and our moisturizer is great. If you are struggling with hormonal acne of any kind, our Mind Body Skin supplement is game changing. It starts to work in less than a week, and it's an option to get you off of spironolactone or help you avoid having to take Accutane or help you avoid having to take antibiotics for your skin. It's meant to be a healthy alternative to toxic pharmaceuticals. So that is the one that has been the biggest game changer for the most amount of people.
What are your thoughts on masks?
Depends on what they're supposed to do. A mask just means you put something on and you take it off. There can be hydrating ones that are great if you're dry, and then there's exfoliating ones that are great if you want a little polish before a night out.
And so I guess what I'm hearing you say is you'd rather see people do things consistently every single day than just, you know, reach for like a quick fix, like, you know, once a month or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's just like anything else. It's your daily habits that yield the end result. So being consistent and specific is the best thing. You're better off, and, you know, and get with an esthetician who can help you create a regimen and then stick with that versus just like trying random things forever. You'll waste a ton of money that way. You won't know what you're doing. You won't have a good system in place, and it'll kind of just be a waste. So being strategic with it and then having the good daily practices from what you learned, that's going to be the game changer.
So imagine you're talking to yourself when you were younger and you were having these acne issues and you were struggling with confidence and self-esteem. What kind of things would you say to that person so that they could accept and acknowledge that there was something going on with their skin, but to also make them feel like somewhat optimistic and not alone, so that they wouldn't feel like such a failure?
If something's going on with your body in any way, it's your invitation to really dive into your health and learn how your system works. Everybody has some sort of trigger event, whether it's they get really sick all of a sudden, or they find out they have some sort of autoimmune thing, or they get in an accident or some sort of injury. There comes a moment for everyone where they have to stop and really prioritize their health. And if you're struggling with your skin in that powerful of a way, your time is now. So that's when you start learning about inflammatory foods. You start learning how to eat properly for your system. You start learning about ingredients. It's just like, you know, it's like, hey, now's your time to pay attention to it. And that learning is going to last you a lifetime. So just look at it with curiosity and patience and develop the other traits that are in you, the way your self-worth actually comes from, so that your cup is full in that sense while you're on this curiosity-filled journey of figuring out what's going on with your body.
We talk a lot about relationships on the podcast, specifically mostly romantic relationships. We've touched on business stuff before. We've had the Krista and Lindsay from Almost 30 on to talk about their relationship. I'd love to talk to you about your relationship with Kaylee and how you navigate that. Like, what are some of the most effective things you do communication-wise and from a relationship standpoint to ensure that you have a healthy business relationship? Because I imagine there's a lot of similarities between that and like a romantic relationship.
Tons. We have our own executive therapist. He's also kind of a business. He's a business coach as well, but his main role, why we sought him out and how his main presence in our company is as the company therapist, and but mainly he's our executive coach. So we talk about communication. We have techniques that we'll use, like say like a cleanup conversation, or hey, this didn't feel, you know, say Kaylee and I are on a meeting and it's kind of intense, and then, you know, the hour is over and we're on to the next thing, but there are some lingering pieces of it. We immediately say, hey, can I circle back on this, or can I clean this up with you, or hey, I didn't say this the way I meant to, or hey, I didn't include this piece of context. We immediately complete the conversation so that nothing is left hanging. Because when things are left hanging or unresolved, that's when we all go to story land and we start filling in the gaps with our own stories. And that's where most problems come from, to be honest. You know, when we find ourselves going to story land, we have to be aware of that, first of all, and then bring it up immediately. Like sometimes we'll be on the call and she'll be like, hey, can we stay on for 2 minutes after this? I'm feeling this way about this thing that was just said. And I say, absolutely, you know, and we handle it right then and there. We don't let anything linger. And then we also acknowledge each other. Back to that acknowledgement. I think it's just so powerful. And you know, there are some times where she's insanely busy working on something and I'm insanely busy working on my stuff. And we just want to be, it's just really powerful to just be like, hey, I see you. I see you over there. Yeah, I'm busy, but I'm fully seeing you. Thank you. Thank you for doing everything that you're doing.
How do you manage conflict?
We have, you know, some rules around stuff. Like I'm in charge of formulation, but she's, you know, responsible for what the company launches too. So if I'm formulating something, it's 80% my decision. I'll bring her in on the last 20%. Like, hey, do you like this texture versus this texture? What are you preferring? That way it's not just, hey, surprise, this is our new product and here's how it is, you know? So we stay in our lanes, but we involve each other to that degree. And if there's something that I feel really, really strongly about and she doesn't quite care, I win. If there's something that she feels very, very, very strongly about, I let her have that one. If there was a situation where we really disagree and we can't see, like, then we go get more information. We loop in our advisors. We have a ton of mentors. All it is someone needs more information because we both want the same thing. But if there's a topic or a question or a decision that needs to be made and we're not in full alignment on it yet, that's when you just go into data gathering mode. And from there, it pretty much solves everything.
So would you say that the reason that you both work so well together and that you're able to like handle conflict very professionally and you're able to grow from it, you mentioned that you have like an executive therapist on staff, which I think, I mean, it's I don't want to say it's rare, but you don't hear about it a ton. And that you're also committed to personal growth based on what I know about her, she is as well. Would you say that those are the main reasons why you're able to make this work in such an effective way? Because a lot of businesses are destroyed through partnerships. A lot of friendships are completely damaged through stuff like this.
Absolutely. Anything in any relationship, any close relationship, friendship, romantic, co-founder, any close relationship where your ships are tied to someone in a meaningful way, you have to have the same commitment to growth. You have to. If one person's not that interested in growth, you're going to outgrow them. It's going to create massive conflict. So that's actually what I look for in a dating relationship, is someone's commitment to growth and to expanding their awareness. If someone's just not that interested in seeing things differently, they're not going to be in my life.
I love that. It's a great outlook to have, right?
It's necessary. Otherwise there's no growth. There's no expansion. It's a lot of regression. Like I've had to end a couple of friendships recently where I've been friends with them for like 12, 13 years. And it was just the same shit over and over and over. And it's like, seriously, we're almost 40 and you're still behaving this way. Time to move on. And it's okay. It feels good to have those values and to stick with them, because if not, then you're in dissonance, you're compromising, you're lowering your vibe, you're stooping to a level that you don't want to be at just for the sake of that connection. And it's not good for anyone at that point. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to you. They'll go find someone they're more aligned with, and you go find someone who's on the same growth path you are.
My audience knows that one of the things I always say is surround yourself with people who have common futures and not common pasts. And I think that's an important thing.
That's huge. I love that.
Yeah. I think it's an important thing to remember, because look, like it's hard. Relationships are hard in general, and you have to be spending time with people that have not necessarily like the same, at least not the same like vision. Like you don't have to have everything in common with somebody, but I do think that it's important that people you spend time with are focused on bettering themselves in some way. Like we're all working on some area of our life.
And they have to be concerned about how they're impacting others. If you're not aware that your interaction with someone is going to have a effect on them, you should be aware of that, you know? So it's like, are people concerned with how they are showing up to the people in their life and what their energetic footprint is with the interactions that they're conducting? That sort of curiosity and awareness is huge.
And so let's talk about ClearSTEM. So I know that you guys have had this, I mean, I know it's not really a meteoric rise. Obviously it takes so much time to build a business and you all have done a great job in doing that, but like I've seen you guys everywhere. You've been traveling all over the place to teach, to present, to partner with people. What I initially gathered through just observing y'all when I first met you was just this sheer passion, this like, I mean, just constant smile, excitement, like your energy like lit up a room. And I think people are drawn to that. From your perspective, what do you think makes ClearSTEM different? And why do so many people connect with you and spend the additional money on ClearSTEM versus like going to, you know, a typical convenience store and just buying whatever's available?
First of all, thank you for that acknowledgement. We do try to light up the space wherever we are and bring that positive energy. So thank you for saying that. I really think people spend with us because we're solving their problems. We're solving that piece of information that they're trying to solve with their skin or even with their mental health. You know, a lot of the times people are like, you transformed my skin, but also you transformed my mental health with this thing that we talked about or this aspect or this perspective shift. So I think people, they get taught something or they get shared something that is very relevant to them and very usable, and it makes their life easier from then on. And that's really what we try to do with everything. It's not just products. It's like, it's solutions. It's things that make your life better and that make your day better. You know, we don't release anything product wise that doesn't feel amazing and smell amazing, and that gives you like change that you can see within one or two uses. So having that really high standard, people feel it and they acknowledge it. And that I think is like, it's like our contract with our customers. So they spend for that physical reason, but also just as a brand, they see us really going the extra mile to be there for them. We have a huge customer service department. It's a lot big proportionally. It's a lot bigger than you would think we were, you know, $100 million company with our customer service, you know, program. So we show up in that way too. And we really try to go the extra mile to troubleshoot for people and solve for them, even if it's directing them towards something else. You know, like we built a checker on our website where you can copy and paste the ingredients to something, to like a lotion that you're using from somewhere else, and it'll tell you if it's breaking you out or not. So people, you know, we built a tool that essentially people can use to go buy other products if they want to, but we're just here to help people find stuff that won't break them out. So it's just like the common good and the common alignment and the high standard that we have, because we're not just some, you know, VCs that were like, hey, the skincare industry has great margins, let's make a company, you know, which is unfortunately the background of a lot of skincare companies. Like, we went through the same thing that they're going through, and our whole ethos and our whole presence as a company is to make their journey a lot easier than ours was. And it's felt in everything that we do. And I think that's what people ultimately care the most about. I think people can just tell that we've been in it with them. Like, we are one with our customer. That's one of our core values. And I think people can feel that. So where we spend our money is in that sort of that vein. You know, it's like, how can we show up for our customer more? Even if there's no ROI on this particular move, we'll still do it anyway, because that's what we know our customers want. And I think they see that because other companies just aren't doing the things that we do for that reason.
From a due diligence perspective, you mentioned that you are the formulator. Like, how do you go into making products and formulating products and making sure that all the ingredients that you use are the best for the skin and making sure that like everything goes as planned?
That's just kind of my zone of genius. I love ingredients. I've interacted with thousands of products at this point in my life. And I know what I want as a consumer, and I am my customer. Like, I have the exact same skin that I'm trying to solve for other people. So I know what I want. I know what's helped me. I know how long something should take before you see a benefit. I know what's kind of just BS in marketing, so I stay away from that stuff. So just being one with the customer at all times, is it makes it a very natural and intuitive kind of thing. And then supplements too, like a bit of a biohacker here. You should see my counter. My housekeeper thinks I'm crazy. So I know what has made me feel better and made my body operate better, and what just from a biological perspective is very good for everyone, like optimizing digestion. Good for everyone. So focusing on stuff like that is just like healthy and beneficial for the masses, and what ratios of ingredients and the quality and sourcing, using only really, really good quality labs is huge. We're always upgrading, sticking with what works and then doing that better.
So your stuff is like third party tested from a lab?
Yeah.
So let's assume that there's a male and a female listening to this and they've heard your story. They're like, Danielle's awesome. I love her energy. I love the mission. I love what she shared. I love what ClearStem has created. Maybe I want to consider giving their products a try instead of whatever I've been using currently. What is a product you would recommend that a female try, and what would be a product that you would recommend a male try?
Ooh, the men love our scrub. Our vitamin scrub is so good. It's good for everyone, but men's skin tends to be a little bit thicker. And they don't generally get a lot of exfoliation. So the scrub is just going to make them feel super clean and fresh and smooth, like instantly. It's like you use it for 10 seconds and your skin is noticeably different. So that one's great for men. For the women, I would say our moisturizer. Our moisturizer is awesome and it won't break them out.
Scrub and moisturizer. Well, thank you so much, Danielle, for coming on here and having a different conversation than maybe you're typically used to. I appreciate your honesty, your vulnerability, and sharing all the wisdom that you did. If people want to connect with you, if they want to learn more about ClearStem, where's the best place to do that?
On our website, clearstemskincare.com. And then our IG is clearstemskincare. My personal IG is Danielle, the acne guru. If you have any questions, shoot us a DM. We got plenty of people there happy to talk to you and build your perfect regimen and answer those little questions you might have.
So Danielle, thank you so much for coming on. I think the audience can get a lot of value out of this conversation. Once again, appreciate you. And thanks again.
Thanks, Doug.